most months, I think I'm a pretty stressed guy. I know what's going on, I know when it's time to eat, and look both ways before I call dinner sessions. But this particular week, every year, I prove that I'm not really that stubborn. Because every year, a couple months before this, I get the same question. What do you hope with VBS? Maybe be the teacher, would be a quick one for the kids. And every year in my head, I'm thinking, just a group of kids. They'll be fine. And out of my mouth comes, yes. And then as we go through the week, week after week, how many kids are going to be in there? We talk about, you know, 8 kids, 10 kids, 12 kids. And I'll be cool with that. And then when you're really close and it's too late to back out, the rest reminds me, don't forget, you get two groups at the same time, four times. So that'd be like 30 kids, four times. Do I get to see you in there, John? Oh, yeah, I did. So, anyway, VBS is one of my favorite sermons to preach. I get to share with you five giant lessons that will take place over the week, and we're going to squeeze it into the remainder of our time between now and lunch. And I don't know if I believe that. And I just want you to know what our children are going to be learning this week, because there are lessons that you and I need to learn from us as well. So we're going to start in Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is verse 3, actually. And David is writing, and perhaps, and we don't know, we weren't there, but perhaps he's saying these words. But this one verse, glorify the Lord with me. This is the NIV. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And then I went and looked at other translations because I'm trying to figure out how would you best present this. And then in the NLT, I was like, I get pretty excited with this. Let us call the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. But the message. And I know it's a paraphrase, I know it's one man's opinion, but I think he got it. Listen to these words. Join me in spreading the news together. Let's get the word out. And that's really what it's about. That's what this is about. We carry the word, we own the word, and then we go and give it away. Because it's not our word, it's his word. It's his word designed to change our lives so that we come closer to the lives that he intends for us. And in this one verse, and there's lots of verses we can look at, but in this one verse, David is inviting us to consider Almighty God, and then as we're considering him, to exalt, to look up, to worship God. The God who is described throughout the scriptures, the God who is revealed in our lives. We're paying attention. Our own lives scream to us that God is. But then, he's also revealed through our lives, and others see something in us that they're missing in their lives. And as we do all of these things, we become aware of the bigness of God. And in so doing, we will find more reasons to magnify him, to glorify him, to worship him. And so during VBS this week, as Celeste explained, we'll be inviting over 160 children along with 60 volunteers, a little over 60 volunteers. If you do the math, we're at number 31. And together we're going to magnify the Lord our God as we discover his goodness, even in the smallest of things. And how many of you know you were looking at bugs when you came down this morning? They're flattened bugs, they're not really bugs, but bugs nonetheless. How many people like bugs? How many like bugs someplace besides the house? Yeah, we're going to talk to the Lord today. I'm going to remind you of us of some of the small things that we get to understand. We had a little bee in here just a little while ago. But to be a lot of honey, he's really, really big. But we're going to learn about God this week together. And so today, our sermon, Life VBS, is going to be interactive. Aren't you excited about that? Yeah, we do. We're actually going to learn about that again. And so, what's going to happen here is I'm going to film. We stand for five lessons that the kids have, and you're going to be able to participate. That means that you're going to be saying things and you're going to be doing things. Okay, great stuff. So, what we're going to do is we're going to test this. I have a verse that we're going to talk about here. to point him out, to point out his work to others around him. To actually own, yes, I'm a Christian, I go to church. Or we can say, I don't believe you. And that's what we encourage on day one, to own that. It's true, church. The children were joining the disciples in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. We're not sure they have a sort of boat that will help to keep all the kids inside for the new one. During a vicious windstorm that took place while they were out there, those experienced fishermen that are in that boat, they were sick. Now, Jesus had been worn out from a day of ministry. And he had said, we're going to go to the other side. And he got into the boat and he said, that way. And he immediately went to the back of the boat and he lay down and he went to sleep. And the storm blew in, swamp, and it's a brewery wind, it's actually ruined, and it's blowing everything around, and the waves are rocking over the board, and these trained, experienced fishermen who know life on the water are scared for their lives. And they make that peace. I'd like you to feel a little bit of that today. So we're going to break some bread and bake it. What I need you to do is, I'm going to read just a couple of verses here, but while I'm reading, I need you to kind of sway. Okay? So let's all sway this way, and then this way, and then this way, and then this way. And if you're really lazy, you go, no, there's a sway. This way. No, there's no sway. And this way. Now you keep that going, and I have to stop right through the week because they keep moving. And when it finishes that, you can stop. And we have both sides in the few chapters. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, he says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was. I've always wondered what that phrase was, just as he was. Maybe he didn't say the chapter of working on that. Just as he was, in the boat. And there were also other boats that were following with him. And a serious one, not just a swell, but a serious one, yeah, you don't go to the waves, came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up and they said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He didn't talk to that before. And he said, that was beautiful. A little mood for the boat. We're getting this boat now, nothing like in the boat, but there's waves just splashing on them. And they're concerned that they're going to die. And they go back to the back of the boat with Jesus, who had worked all day in this animal to put his foot to. Don't you know you're going to die? So, here's what you're going to do. You're going to jump up your feet, or rise to your feet. Now, what they did with Jesus is they rattled his cage. They rattled God's cage. But I know some of you have done that. So turn to your neighbor. You don't have to give them all the details because I'm looking for proof. Set among yourselves in little clusters when you had to rattle God's cage to make sure he heard you. So Jesus, I'm being awakened by the disciples. He rebuked the wind and he spoke to the waves and said, "Quiet!" Jesus does that for you and me. Now, he doesn't always solve the dilemma, the problem, the pain, the loss. But somehow in his presence, he calms us. Now, what we're going to do with the children is we're going to pray that God never takes his eyes off of them. Well, he is always near us. He's always there to take care of us when we have it in need. So we can trust God to take care of us because God loves us. And not just on sunshine days when we're doing exactly what we think he wants us to do, but every day. He's even with us in the storm. And sometimes, my friends, those storms, don't tell anybody, but sometimes we cause them. Still loves us and is still there for us. That's Tuesday. Wednesday, the children are going to sit at a well and they're going to learn about God's deep and wide love. It's a well in Samaria. Some of you know this story. the home of the Samaritans. They're half-breeds. They're not Jewish. They're not this other group. They're blended. They're half-breeds. And they're deeply tainted by the Jewish pure blood. And Jesus stops there. And actually, he's taking his disciples to their home and he says, I have need to go through Samaria rather than crossing over the Jordan, walking north or south, and crossing back over like most people would have done. He needed to walk through Samaria. And it's this love as he sits there in this very public location, he talks to the woman. There are two kind of public places together. One, she's a Samaritan, he said he was talking to her. Secondly, she's a woman, he should have been talking to her, but he began the conversation. He would understand the impact that this is going to have. And so we get a John chapter 4 where this account is, in verse 7, it explains that Jesus began the conversation. It's an act of love. He's reaching out with words to somebody who should have been stoned. It's an act of love. And he continued to express love as he shared about the love of his Father, love for sinners. He explains that no one has sinned so badly that they're outside of the reach of God's love. This is these beautiful words in John chapter 4. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? And his disciples said, go to the town there with the Taco Bell again. But she's there, and the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me to a drink? So the Jews did not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. But what Jesus had actually asked was that she would share what she drew. And all she had was her bucket, the drink. And so it's not that he had talked to the woman. It's not that he had talked to the Samaritan woman. It's not that he wanted water out of the well. He was going to share the edge of a container that perhaps they would see them. Talk of intimacy. Violating intimacy. Or, if you will, amazing, edgeless love. Jesus here models for us how to do life among other people. He also here models the art of refocusing a conversation. Because he's going to press her. Now, Carol and I, as we're working with the kids, we have to be very careful with this passage because there's a whole bunch of words and descriptions and things we're not going to talk about. But he's going to talk to this very uncomfortable woman and he's going to repeatedly have to approach her again and again because she's dodging. She doesn't want any of his words to stick because she doesn't want to own who she is, what she's done, until she realizes that she knows. That she knows. And his dodging around her dodges is so that she can reach her heart, a heart that is stained with sin, so many sins. And yet it's a heart that God wants to make his own. It's a gentle, but it's a firm love. And it's a persistent love that he offers here. And it pays off because in the end, the woman leans into the love. She leans into the truth. She owns in a public way with Jesus who she is, what she is. And embraces what she might become, who she might become. And in that moment of realization of the treasure that she had received, she could only think of all the people around her that needed to know that. And the people around her had hated her. They had looked down at her. They had scorned her. Perhaps said abusive words to her. And yet she left Jesus, left the drug, left the well, and raced back into the town where she's not wanted so that she could tell everyone about the true God and his true love that had changed her life. The woman at the well had become early morning. He told others about Jesus. Now, what I'd like to do is have all of you run out in the neighborhood, tell somebody about Jesus, and then come back and we'll hear your story. But instead of doing that, I'd like you to stand. And what I'd like you to do is just quietly pray for somebody that you're looking for an opportunity to talk to about Jesus, or pray for somebody you know who needs Jesus. Thursday is always come to Jesus night at VBS. Doesn't matter which company it's quicker over the years, it's always Thursday night. It's fired up into the week that we get. Got a feel for the kids that we're working with, they're trusting us, they're getting into the routine of the lesson structure. It seems to be the appropriate place to have an invitation to respond to Jesus offer to us. We're also giving us one more night the other night to follow up on any decision. And so on this fourth night, Thursday night, we are going to sit around the lantern. We'll be brave and put the big light off in the room. And we have this little lantern, and we're going to allow the children to hear Jesus and Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, you remember, was a Jewish religious leader, and he had questions. But like many people, he didn't go to other people to ask about Jesus. He went right to Jesus so that he can get his answers from Jesus himself. And Jesus said, "You must be born again." Such a profound statement. And perhaps sometimes for some people it can be a confusing statement. And for Nicodemus, they want to be, how can a grown up be born again? And Jesus says, I'm your place that not through your mom's womb again, but your heart needs to be reborn. It's an enlivening of your heart by faith. Becoming brand new. So, with the kids, we're going to learn that we need to own. We need to own that we have sinned. And that what we have done. Sin is wrong and it breaks God's heart and it separates us from God. We're also going to learn that what Jesus did when he came and he died and he rose was all that we need to believe to have our sins taken care of. And we need to trust to believe that for ourselves. No one can do it for us. Mommy can't fix my sin. We need to fix it as I talk with Jesus, tell him who I am, what I have. And we'll explain that to the children. And then we'll explain to them that what they get on the other side of that is the ability to enjoy the life that Jesus makes possible. Not the life we settle for, but the life that Jesus makes possible. Let's read the key verse that the children are going to look at from the wall behind me. John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I'm not going to put you on the spot to tell your neighbor what you know Jesus, but I do want you to sit quietly, look inside, and ask yourself, do I know Jesus Savior? Do I know that? Absolutely not. As you're poking around looking inside, you realize maybe I've got a friend. Let's do that this morning. Listen to John one more time. He died like the world, all of us, even while we sin. And he loved us in this way. He gave his one and only Son, that is Jesus, who came to earth as one of us. So that everyone who believes in him as Jesus' Savior, not just a good man, not just a miracle worker, but as Jesus' Savior, will not perish, but have eternal life for forever. The Savior. Jesus, we know that you have come among us as one of us, except you came without sin, so that you might die in a place when the death for all of our sins was paid. We also know that we need to ask to believe this truth for ourselves, that we might be forgiven for our sins, and then enjoy new life, eternal life. Father, draw to yourself this morning anyone who has yet to make this decision. to ask Jesus to forgive them and grant them new life. Give them confidence to ask for life. And Father, allow them to know, not just wonder, that they are God's soul alive, born again, one of his children. One thing. That's the life of another spirit of vision. Amen. God, you prayed this morning for the very first time. I challenge you to tell somebody before you leave this morning. Something that will help the important topic of worry, or rather the important topic of trust, trusting God. And it is amazing, as you listen to children, how many things they worry about. Because sometimes they worry about you, that you'll always be there for them. Because they hear stories. That you'll not get hurt, and you'll be able to take care of them, or that you'll go away. Nothing happens. Worry about God. They worry about these things. And they also worry about the other stuff of life, that someday they'll be famous, that they might be rich, that their friend will always be there when they knock on his or her door, and that they'll always find their point when they leave. So once again, we're going to sit with them, we're going to listen to Jesus. And the season that Jesus knows, he just knows what we need to hear, and he knows what bothers us most. And we'll read from the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to read to you some verses. You're going to get a little bit more than they're going to get, but you're going to be hearing it. Listen to these words. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father receives them. Isn't you much more valuable than they? Can any one of you work by worrying a single hour to their life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers in the field grow? They do not labor, they do not spin. And yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of your sin? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the present, say one after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And in each of these words, we're going to focus on the do not worry words. And we all know that it's easy to do this. But what we also want to focus on is the trust God word. We lean into the word, but we need to reach to the trust. And that is what you and I need to do as well. Focus on what is knowing that God is trustworthy. Sure, we pray and we do it. And we worry about almost everything in our lives. And then we worry about the medical bills, and we finally realize we've worried ourselves to death. Trust you. Trust you. I've been playing with this for a while, trying to get ready for these kids, because talking to you is way easier for me than talking to them. But these are life lessons. And I'm asking you to play with that they'll hang on the word, that they'll take some of the words home, that they'll talk with you if you're a parent or their parents, because a lot of kids come from the neighborhood. These are important life lessons, and you and I need to embrace them well. And along the way, I've been reminded that I am still on a learning curve. And it doesn't matter how much I've learned in school, how much I've learned in my personal studies, there is still so much more that I need to know. Because I'm not ready for tomorrow, but God keeps me. And some of you are right there with me. You also know this stuff, but you don't know how it's going to work for you. And so my question for you today, for us today, are we living what we know? God keeps us, all of us, at every age, in every place, and each one of us is invited to magnify God. God cares about us all the time. He never is asleep. He's never not looking. And each one of us is invited to do life aware that God is and that He's with us. God loves us, each one. He loves us deeply. He loves us wholly and completely. No exception. He loves us while we're in our sin, that we might come to enjoy life without sin. And God forgives us, each one of us, as we believe what Jesus has done for us, when we know Jesus' Savior. No sin is too big or too often that God will not come out to give what is confessed. And God keeps His promises. That one is forgotten. That one slips through the cracks and somehow lost. His word is as good as done. And we know, like David, in Psalm 34, that God is. Give God your thoughts this morning. I'd like to end this morning by reading together five truths that the kids are going to walk away this week. I don't know if I'm memorized. I'm not going to ask you to memorize, but I'm sorry. If you try to memorize these this week, the kids are going to do that. Read with me. I am important to God. I can trust God to take care of me. I can be confident God loves me. I can trust Jesus as my Savior. I don't have to worry because God keeps